Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, I think number one is the student influx for Australia is huge. So there's no way for a uni to actually handle all the student needs. All right. So there is so much more in the market so much more student in the market while trying to look for good accommodations. All right. So I mean, that is the nature of it.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we're back with Ricky Poon, Director at Pioneering Development Group, BEKL. He shares some building mishaps that you wouldn't believe, featuring what resembled a bumbling circus trip and the reason why a 5-year wait for a permit to build is worth the wait for everybody, whether they know it or not. When Poon came back to Australia, he was working for his father and uncle while also creating other businesses as an import and export trader.
When I came back to Australia, I still can manage this business for a little bit, but then I wanted to put my feet on the ground again in Australia. And I was talking to one of my old clients when I was doing my multimedia business. And he's running a spare part, automotive spare part business. So and then that is actually literally my very first job that I actually work under someone. So I worked for that friend for quite a long while. And for one funny event when I was at Dan Murphy, I was doing some wine tasting. As you know, I love my wine. I bump into another person. There's some communication problem between the store manager and this person, and I'm trying to help out because I'm quite a busybody, right? When I see something not right and I think I can help, I'll go in and help. It's purely a language problem back then. So I was just going there to be a translator and get things sorted. And then I become friends with this person, and this person is a startup developer. So he got me in, and then that's how I actually get my first taste of property development.
Wow, that sometimes pays to be a busybody, doesn't it?
It is. It's sort of unexpected. It's actually quite unexpected.
The developer he met was working on luxury home constructions as the owner, and there were language issues between him and the builder. Enter Ricky.
For me, I have got no knowledge of a property, you know, so that's why when I told you just then, I have to start off learning everything from scratch and really go to the construction sites and talk to tradies and talk to the foreman, predominantly the foreman, to tell me what's going on about this site. And I start to learn all the terms and jargon and then understand how they work and understand what is good and what is bad. Right, so that's how I started. That's why it's been many, many years from now already, but there are a lot of project managers and all that, they feel that, oh, how come I know so much? Right, because I was at the very bottom to start off with. So I would say that yes, it created who I am at the who am I now, but it's also quite hard for anyone to copy the same way because it takes too long. It takes very long to do that, and also you have to be very patient to talk to different people. Especially if you don't know anything, you try to get into tradies and all that, right? They know that you don't know anything. You know, you can imagine the situations.
That first development that you mentioned, that luxury house that you're building there, how did that go?
It turns out well, but it was also a testing ground for me on my problem solving skill. There were so many things that was unexpected, and you can either surrender and just settle it as it is, or you try yourself to fix it up. So we end up have to get a lot of different trainees and even different builder for the final stage. Because when this project was start off, wasn't actually start off correctly, there are things hasn't been managed properly. And then when you close to finish, then you realize all the problem. Yes, yeah, then straight away you need to talk to so many people to work out a solutions to fix that, because it's too late. You know, you can't, you know, there's many things that you cannot change. So, which means you've got to be very, very smart to make it work again.
The problems he faced during the build were certainly unusual, but could happen to anybody.
There are a few things that has been heavily impacted. One is was meant to be a 5-bedroom and then becoming a 4-bedroom. Reason being, one of the room was done incorrectly. The wall suddenly exists out of nowhere. There's a wall, there's an additional wall that created. So, but luckily that still can be fixed, but we just turn it into a rumpus room. It still makes sense. Other stuff would be some, believe it or not, like the planter box was not done in a proper way. And therefore you can see all the cracks everywhere, you know, even for a short period of time. And also, I mean, not only us, I think there are many, many developers. If you are coming from an Asian background, you will try to import stuff yourself. So those items are either didn't comply to the Australian standard or just not functional at all. Yeah, that's something at all. But there's so many things happened, that numerous things, you know. So bit by bit, you have to do a big sacrifice, dispose some of the items, but try to find an alternative and fix it. You know, so yeah, it's a long journey on that.
I still can't believe how people can get one room missed. I mean, how is it possible? If they had the plan, it was supposed to be a 5-bedroom house and it turned into a 4, or was it the other way around?
The plan was not coordinated properly. So there are some changes happen, and this is a big lesson to learn for any new developers when they're doing houses. It's like you can't fully trust your design person. You need to check it as well, because it's not that the design guy has done anything wrong, but it's just that because if there's no one to do the coordinations, and imagine there's structural engineer, there's other stuff that go into a plan, things can somehow miscommunicated. So that's exactly what happened. So after that scenario, there's another funny example that I got is there's a house that we designed. There's one of the door actually cannot be opened. For whatever reason, there's something blocking the door to open. So we need to step up from just for that part so that the door can open again.
I think I would have just been just looking at this guy and just going, this is just a complete class or clown act here. It sounds like a circus came through the door.
I was actually laughing when the builder told me that, you know what, there's some buildability issue because this door cannot be open. How do you get to your backyard?
He has done 6 developments and he's always keen to share his experiences.
I wouldn't say it's not about the scale. It's actually about the technical. You know, there's project that I work that heavily involved the government decisions. You know, so that can get quite political. There are a lot of different boxes to tick. So it's not simply saying that, yep, I'm fully compliant, therefore you get your permit and you can build. All right. So I think it's not about the scale of it. You know, to build, to be honest, to do a luxury house and to do a high rise, the amount of effort is about the same. The amount of time is also about the same. But obviously the money is not the same.
When you say high rise, how many apartments or units have you built before in a development?
High rise wise, the tallest one that it hasn't been built. The highest one was meant to be 40 level. But yeah, that gets stuck with the government. So that is also a long negotiation process.
Yeah. Roughly how long does it usually take for something like this to go on as well too?
Normally in ideal world, you will expect your permit can be out in a 1 year or max 1.5 years. But with this particular scenario, it has been running for 5 years. It's not taking off.
5 years is a long time to wait for a permit. He explains the factors that have been keeping it tied up.
There are some government policies. It has been changing a little bit. It's in a hot discussion all the time. But it's not uncommon because I think Melbourne has been developed so rapidly there are a lot of the old rules and laws may not apply now, right? And if you look at Hong Kong for example, you know, like if you don't really amend your law to suit, you end up creating a big screen, a building screen, you know, blocking all the light, the wind and everything. I can see where the government, I mean, is coming from. I know why they're doing this. But at the same time, I mean, as a developer, then obviously we get impacted that way. This is just an apartment. Yeah, not a hotel site. So the hotel site is probably come quite late in my journey so far. So because hotel was not popular in Melbourne, but the reason I got into hotel is when I was trying to make a site more profitable, I was looking at different type of asset class, and I realized that hotel is something that you can do, and not many people doing it back then. That's how I got into it, and as soon as I got into it, it just opened up a new world. Traditionally, most developers, when they got into development, we're talking about build to sell, all right? So you build an apartment, you sell. So meaning, if you want to make a big profit, the easiest way is to sell high and build low, all right? So that's why you do hear a lot of story that people were just complaining about developers and not having heart and all that, right? Which I don't understand why. But in hotel, it's different, because hotel is a development that a developer have to hold. So you're holding the whole development, which means you don't actually you cannot really compromise on your quality, all right? Because you will backfire yourself. But at the same time, hotel itself is a business. So as soon as it becoming a business, then the formula will change. It's not about how much you sell for; it's about how much income it is generating, and therefore, it will increase its valuation because of its profitability.
So therefore, I guess when you're dealing with the hotel model, you've got to be able to ensure that this strong serviceability through the income that you receive from the tenants, I guess you can say, coming in to stay at the hotel. And if we're valuing, say, like a commercial loan, I guess you can say, is that sort of looking at the income and ensuring that the income values up the value of the property? Because in commercial, they usually look at the income that helps determine the valuation of the property.
That's right. So in hotel, you would be, I mean, of course, as usual, you watch your costs, your bill costs. But then at the same time, you need to understand that if you cut your costs too much, how does it make sense in terms of logistics and all that for the business to be running efficiently? Because that translates to your profit, right? And also it's about the durability. You don't want to keep paying for maintenance costs and all that, right? So you see, it's suddenly becoming a very complicated formula. But of course, because it's an asset with income generating capability, then you can expect the profit is actually much higher than you do a typical apartment. I actually more than happy to stay as a developer than the operator. So I'm actually always invite the global or national brand come in and work with us. So so in this case here, we have a site in South Melbourne. We invited Intercontinental to come in. Reason being that they are the top 5 brand, and if not probably the top 2 brand in the world. They know what they're doing. You know, they understand you know, how to tackle the market well. So that's the reason that we want them to be here.
Coming up after the break, we hear about the difference between a traditional PBSA and Pern's visionary concept.
A student PBSA is really offering something that, you know, a student can go in and without a lot of, so they can really focus on their study and their social, you know, if they wanted to.
His plans to bring the more reserved international students out of their shells.
Because otherwise, some people are too shy, you know, or maybe they don't have their network to connect to the right people. That's why we have it. We'll help you out. So that's what we're offering.
He reveals the plan he has for his kids now, after being in property so long changed his mind on things.
A lot of people from different sectors or industry will try to say that I'll try to work hard and then I can either pay a deposit for my kid or simply I give a house to my kids so that they can have a much better life when they grow up. I was at that point before.
And that's up next. I'm Tarun Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, let's be real. Deals that can yield 20 to 30% per annum do exist. Don't believe me? Well, here's a story about property development I invested in Victoria. This developer had the project fully funded beforehand, but he and his family suffered a loss, a circumstance that led him to be unable to proceed with the development. So I stepped in, and in 2 weeks, we funded the shortfall, allowing for the development to continue. 5 months later, the development was refinanced and we received our funds back with interest. Yes, there are amazing opportunities in the property market like this one. So, do you want to get a better return with lower risk on your money? Then register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Poon's development journey has been a long and fascinating one. What would he say was the pivotal moment where he realized this is what he wanted to do?
I think the aha moment is actually, which we just touched on, is actually the hotel. Because the questions to me was like, I'm not satisfied with the current profit. What can I do to make it better? All right. There's basically no point for you to keep driving up on the sale price. All right, I've been told to drive up the prices so that hopefully if I get lucky, then I will sell well and therefore achieve the profit. But it's too much of the risk. But as soon as I start to look into the hotel, and then yes, it has a bigger equity exposure. It has a longer duration for your money to come back, but the profit is actually much higher. But as soon as I see that, it was like, oh, like you found your gold mine, you know, like.
But then when you shift, as you said, your strategy to something that's very unique, like hotel building or student accommodation building, that becomes, you know, your market and you can start to dominate that. So is that sort of the kind of strategy that you've been thinking about going down the path now?
The things is also quite beneficial to us as a developer is you can see that pre-sales has been a big topic all the time. If you don't get enough pre-sales, you don't get your financiers to support you and all that, right? But if you have a good operators in either student accommodations or hotel operator, straight away it met that criteria, you know. So you take a lot of your pressure away on pre-sales. So I mean, I'm just using this development for example. So we are doing this mixed use of the development, and this development, because it has a big component of hotel, I can then comfortably telling my agent saying that I will definitely start my construction on time because I've got no pre-sales pressure at all. So yeah, that makes a big difference, which means my apartment can afford to sell at the right timing. My apartment can actually sell at the right specification that I want without being affected by other factors.
He focuses on what's called PBSA in the student market, which stands for Purpose-Built Student Accommodation. Something he wishes had been available when he was a student.
So compared to my time when I was a student, it wasn't exist. All right. So it was like you can either share a flat or apartment with your friend, or you go and stay in a homestay. But now PBSA is literally a hotel offering to a student. You can put it that way. Of course, you don't really have that kind of room service and da 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 da. Right. Not. But student PBSA is really offering something that, you know, a student can go in and without a lot of, so they can really focus on their study and their social, you know, if they wanted to. That's important. So yeah, that's what a traditional PBSA would offer. But what make our offering a little bit different as well is we also care about how they can, as an overseas student, how they can actually connect it to the local and becoming 100% Australian, all right? So we will help them on how they should make friends with others, how they should build their connection in the business before they graduate, you know, how they write their CV, you know. We offer a lot of that, you know, just to help the student. Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, as a student, you can't just study. You know, when I was telling all my friends when they're still studying, I'm just saying that, you know, before you graduate, go and look for a job, all right? Build your experience first. Otherwise, once you graduate as a fresh grad, how are you going to compete with other people with experience, right? So that is something that you need to do, all right? So this is something that I have been advising my friend, and this kind of opinion is also quite important to offer to our students in our accommodations, that for them to aware on this and we help them, right? Because otherwise, some people are too shy, you know, or maybe they don't have their network to connect to the right people. That's why we have it. We'll help you out. You know, so that's what we're offering.
While some universities offer their own on-campus accommodation, Poon has a plan to work with them rather than compete against them.
All our location will be really like a few minutes walk from the uni. All right, so that's number one. But that's why we will definitely talk a lot with the university. So to see what sort of help we can provide. Or on the other way, we can ask them, can I invite your lecturer or tutor come to our building, you know, just get to know my student, you know, because my student is your student too, all right? Because we'll be dedicated to your uni only. I think number one is the student influx to Australia is huge. So there's no way for a uni to actually handle all the student needs, all right? So there is so much more in the market so much more student in the market while trying to look for good accommodations, all right? So I mean, that is the nature of it. And also the offering is quite different. So those one who live on campus are really focusing on their study alone. But then those one who live off campus, they may be treasure about lifestyle and freedom and all that, right? And where we are, we sort of stand in between. Well, we are not far away from the uni. In fact, we are really, really close, but we are not in uni, all right? Plus the offering that we are trying to give, you know, that kind of community experience and all that. So that give ourselves a different space to work on.
Because you're building student accommodation, do you retain that within your development business, or do you actually sell it out to potential landlords who want to actually achieve rental returns from this? How does that model work?
We maintain it. So far, Echo will hold on to all the asset that we created. The only reason that we need to sell the asset is because of the equity exposure. But we are very reluctant to do it, and therefore you can see a lot of the development that upcoming are all mixed use. So we will sell down part of the building, but not the whole building. But then on the other hand, it gives us a good reason to make sure that whatever part we are selling is still in good quality because it's from part of the building. So what I've been telling either investors or buyers is like, you know what, we are not selling you anything and then we walk away. We are your neighbor. We will always be your neighbor.
His method is to look at things backwards so he can figure out potential profits before starting so he can help his family in a less traditional way.
I would look at the outcome and whether this outcome is what I want first, and then I try to bring it backward and look at where my starting point should be. So that is actually the why. So for example, if I want to do hotel, number one is I want to look at is whether Australia has a market for hotel, all right? How much build cost I need to spend to build that quality there, to achieve that. And then I start to plug in all the numbers and all the know-how. Probably predominantly for my family, I wish I can get to a point where I got that big heart to dedicate it to the community, but I'm not there yet. So I still do a little bit as much as I can, but I think really I'm focusing more on my family. So, you know, people have been, I mean, a lot of people from different sectors or industry will try to say that I'll try to work hard and then I can either pay a deposit for my kid or simply I give a house to my kid so that they can have a much better life when they grow up. I was at that point before, but then as soon as I get into property longer and longer, I do realize that I'd rather give an income generating asset to my kid rather than a house. Because imagine that if I give them a house and if they're not earning well, they still have to pay for the maintenance, the house get run down, you know, how are you gonna survive, right? It's even worse. At the end, you sell the house. So what I believe now is I'll give them an income generating asset, will be managed by someone that understands what they're doing, you know, and this is their protection. This is what I'm trying to pass down.
He doesn't have one particular mentor or type of person he turns to for advice, but rather an assortment of people he learns from.
I learn it from multiple person. Like, it's a lot of person. So when I was starting up, I told you I'm learning from the foreman and all that. And then after that, I learned from architects, understanding why they're doing it. And then I learned from bankers, understanding how the finance works. And after that, you would then realize that the valuation is important because that's what the banker needs. You learn from the valuer, you know, understand. So instead of, I know that a lot of people would just simply outsource the thing to all these consultants, let them do the do whatever they need to do and come back to you. And then if you don't have me, you just tell them what to do, right? But I'm actually the type of person that will try to understand why they give you that piece of paper. So I do learn every single bit. So I will be able to understand how this valuation was created. I will understand why this lending was given that way, you know. So all these people are actually my mentor. And that's why it allows me to work backward. Because if you don't understand all this, that's just impossible. Impossible for you to actually work things backward.
As a social being, Poon prefers people to books, but keeps up to date with news mixed with opinions.
Actually, I don't read books anymore because I actually don't have enough time to do it. Most of the time, before I go to bed, I will actually either check my email or just return all the messages. But what I enjoy and what I do highly recommend to anyone to do it is to network with the right people. You know, so I actually learn a lot from. I'm still learning a lot from different people at different time. All right. So I hang out a lot with different developers or consultants, you know, to get my understanding on the industry, to get my understanding on their view, you know, as a financier or as a developer or whatever about the market. So that's why even though I don't read anything, my news is actually pretty updated. Plus they have their opinion, which you don't read from the books. Yeah. So I rather spend a lot more time to communicate. So that's why lockdown is a problem to me because I can't. As soon as lifted, I go out every day, every night. You know, just making sure that I meet enough people. I understand a lot, and sometimes opportunity also come in that discussions. So that actually has been, you know, serving me quite well.
All right. Well, if you say you met yourself say 10 years ago, 10 years ago with Ricky Poon, what would you have said to him?
I would have said that, okay, number one, take it slowly. Don't think that you are a genius. You're not a genius. You're just like everyone. But do more networking, you know, talk to more people. Don't just try to work within yourself. Try to listen to different people and understand why they're doing it. I still remember when I was young, there was a period of time that I think the money was quite easy to earn. I don't really listen to many people. So I think that was quite wrong. I won't do that anymore. So I think that is something that I would actually tell the younger Ricky.
As for the future Ricky, he's looking to COVID-proof the world.
I didn't actually know where I am, you know, back then, like where I was trying to do. But now that I'm a property developer for quite a bit and I still enjoy being a developer, so I think in 5 years time I will still be developers, but I also can see that what I'm good at is to create a new opportunities within the property sector. So I will be seeing that. In 5 years time I'll be a developer of some other stuff. You know, like now I'm telling you student accommodation and hotel. Next thing, for example, we are looking at build to rent at the moment. So I think in the next 2 to 3 years you will see us in build to rent sector. But in 5 years time, what else will come up? I don't know yet. Right? But there's every day I'll be trying to look for something. For example, like now it's COVID. Is there anything that is COVID proof that I don't get impacted? Imagine that now if I got all this hotel opening at the same time and then COVID come and hit all my hotel, you know, then my income will stop. So what is the next property that I should be investing in and not affected? You know, this is something that I'm actually constantly asking myself.
So last question to you, Ricky, is that you've done so much and you've achieved so much in your development journey and you're always growing and achieving furthermore down the track. How much of it of your success has been due to your skill, intelligence and hard work, and how much of it has been due to your luck?
I have to say that the luck is only a very minor bit. Like I would say that probably 5 to 10% is luck. Especially in property, I think luck, you just no way you can rely on luck, because as soon as you buy a site wrong, you will almost finish. All right, it will take you 1,000% to fix it when you bought a wrong site. All right, so you cannot rely on luck. I mean, if you are luck, you bought a good site, but if you still don't know what you should develop, you earn less, or maybe you actually don't earn anything at all, which is quite common in property developer. So yes, I would say that the skill is extremely important than luck.
Thank you to Ricky Pern, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you love the show, perhaps you're now ready to invest your money in a low-risk, high-return deal. If you are, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a lender. There are amazing opportunities in the property market right now. And I'm looking for lenders who want to invest their money for as short as 6 months. What are you waiting for? Don't let your money just sit in the bank. To register your interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.